Regardless of where you are in your homesteading journey, whether you are just starting out or you've been at it for a while, there is no way that any of us can know absolutely everything when it comes under the homesteading umbrella. And this is where it is key that you are learning from people who have life experience and have been doing this homesteading when it comes to livestock in the kitchen, but they have been doing it for a long time so that you can bypass the mistakes that they have made along the way. And getting it delivered in your mailbox, in your hands every single month from some of the most trusted voices in homesteading is exactly what you need. And Homestead Living now has Homesteading Monthly, which is an in-print monthly magazine featuring articles from Joel Salatin, myself, Carolyn Thomas, as well as homesteaders who you may not have heard from them, but they have been perfecting their craft and are very much an expert in their area. You can get this for less than $2 an issue. Yes, that is an in-print, jam-packed with articles every single month. Go to homesteadliving.com and grab your subscription right now.
Hello, Pioneering Today podcast listeners. I am really excited for today's episode because we are going to be talking about the Sun Oven. So if you've never heard of the Sun Oven before, it is an oven that allows you to cook with just solar power, with just the power from the sun. And I'm really excited because I have Paul, who has been part of Sun Oven for quite a while, on the phone with me today because I am kind of new to the Sun Oven.
So I actually got a Sun Oven for free a couple months ago in exchange for my review, and I had quite a few questions actually when I went about to use it. So I contacted Paul, the president of Sun Oven, to come on the show with us today so that he could answer my questions and any questions that you might have in regards to cooking with the Sun Oven and what actually all it can do and with solar power.
And I have to tell you, I got really giddy when I got it out and started using it. My husband was actually laughing at me. I was like a kid at Christmas time. So, Paul, welcome to the Pioneering Today podcast.
Oh, great to be with you.
Yeah, so the first thing is I have known about solar ovens, heard about solar ovens for quite a while, but I live in the Pacific Northwest where it is usually quite rainy. And you know, our sun in the summertime, we have some hot days through July and August, sometimes into September. But generally, our sunny days aren't really very hot. You know, our temperatures kind of average in between the 50s and 60s for most of the year. So I just didn't think that a sun oven would work here because I thought that sun ovens and solar cooking would only work where you have really hot temperatures with the sun, like, say, Arizona or Texas or those kind of areas. But that's actually kind of a misconception with solar cooking is that it has to be hot out. Is that correct?
Yes, one of the wonderful things about cooking with the sun is that the outside temperature has no effect on the oven at all. It can be 10 below zero and sunny, and it actually can be better than a day when it's 95 degrees and hazy. So it's the amount of direct sunlight that you have, not the outside temperature. And as long as you have enough sun to cast a shadow, we always kind of think of the groundhog. If you go outside and you can see a shadow on the ground, then you're able to cook in your sun oven.
Okay, because yeah, that was for years. I had, you know, heard of sun ovens and seen people, you know, using with solar and stuff. But I just thought, well, I'm in the Pacific Northwest and it's just not going to be hot enough for us up here. So I was really excited to learn that it's not the outside temperature because it's this, like you said, is it the UVA, the UVB rays that are actually what's heating the oven. So I was super excited about that. And I also thought that it would take a really long time for it to heat up. And so I got it, and I was kind of, you know, we had some sunny days, actually, kind of Pacific Northwest. We've had kind of an abnormal winter. It's been a lot nicer than normal and warmer with more sunlight. But I just thought by the time I would be like, oh, I think it's going to be sunny out enough, you know, today, I thought, oh, well, I'm not going to have enough time to get everything set up and for it to preheat. And so I didn't use it for like the first month kind of that I had it because I just figured it would take forever. But how long is it average for it to actually heat up and preheat with the sun oven?
Well, with a sun oven, the preheating time generally in reasonable sun will get to about 300 degrees in about 20 minutes. So, when you're preheating an empty sun oven, it doesn't take real long to get it up to temperature. And one of the unique things about the sun oven compared to most solar cookers is that cooking time. Most solar cookers, you can only cook very slowly, and with the majority of solar cookers, your cooking time is anywhere from 3 to 4 times longer than it would be in a stovetop or a conventional oven. But the sun oven is made uniquely. It has a gasket in particular, which is why it gets so much hotter and quicker. So with a sun oven, you actually, if you choose to, there's two ways to cook in it. You can slow cook in it, or if you choose to, if you do realign it to follow the sun every 30 minutes, your cooking time is only going to be 20 minutes longer than it would be on your stovetop or your regular oven for each time you open the door of the sun oven. So it can cook in close to the same as normal time if you do choose to refocus it every 30 minutes, or you could slow cook all day if you choose to.
Yeah, it was amazing. I couldn't believe how fast it heated up actually, because we set it up for the first time, and we were actually leaving to go take the kids to go see a movie, and so I wasn't going to be home. And I thought, I'm just going to, throw some baked potato, do some baked potatoes in the sun oven for my first kind of test run of it, because I thought, that way if they don't get all the way done, I can throw them in my own oven really quick. Or if, I just figured that in that way, if it doesn't cook, it's kind of. I don't want to say I was expecting it not to go well, but I was kind of like, well, things don't work out with it cooking dinner for us on time. If we don't have the baked potatoes with dinner, then it's not going to be like I don't have our entire meal. So that's kind of how I set it up for the first time. And then, like I said, we were leaving, so I got it positioned, which it was actually, I had it in my head, I guess, that it was going to be a lot harder to use than it actually was. So I got it set up and in position really quick. And so I was letting it preheat. And like you said, it preheated in like 20 minutes, and I didn't know if that was, considered, the average normal or not, because it was my first time using it. But it was so funny because I love that it has the thermometer inside the oven that you get to watch as the temperature increases. And so like every 5 minutes I was running back over, and so were the kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 200. And so we were like roll calling out the temperature decrease as it climbed. And so it was pretty fun, and they were getting excited to watch it, heat up and everything. And my husband was really astounded. He's like, I cannot believe that it's reached 300 degrees. And it was about 22 minutes that it reached that temperature. And so I put the potatoes in, and normally, when I do baked potatoes in the oven, I oil them all up and everything. And in this, I just pierced the skin so they wouldn't burst, but I didn't even bother with oiling them, put them in. And they were really large baked potatoes and sweet potatoes and regular potatoes. And so we left, and we were gone for about 2 hours. And so when we came back, it was not quite dusk, but the sun was definitely going down. And so I thought, oh, I better go and check and see if the potatoes are done. They've been in there 2 hours. I don't know if that'll be, how they'll do, because I wasn't here to monitor it. And that was one of my things, is thinking I would really need to be hands-on with it. And I cannot believe the potatoes were perfectly done. There was no burnt, uneven spots. They were cooked all the way through. And so I was hooked after that first use. I'm like, this is awesome. I can, not have to worry about, because I don't like leaving things on when I'm not home. I don't like turn the oven on even if it's on low and bake things if we're not here. And so I was so excited. And so I told my husband, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. I can't wait to use this more. And so I feel like I discovered this like brand new secret that's so awesome. I have to share it with everybody.
Yeah, no, it is really amazing. I mean, you can, nothing burns in the sun oven and nothing dries out. So it's the most forgiving of methods of cooking that you'll ever find. So, you can do those potatoes. If you had stayed home and refocused it, you could have done them in probably half the time. But it almost doesn't make any difference. So one of the things that we always teach in sun oven classes is that you never have to worry about dinner, burning dinner again, because it's very, very difficult to burn things in the sun oven because it's a completely even heat. The whole chamber is the same temperature. That's why your potatoes cooked all the way through and you didn't notice any difference in the one part of the potato being more cooked than the other.
Right, because a lot of times the center, you know, obviously isn't quite all the way done. It'll have some, just a little hard spot, especially on the really large potatoes. But, yeah, I was very impressed. And the one thing that I love, because my husband and I were talking back and forth, because this year here in the Pacific Northwest, I'm on the west side of the mountains in Washington State in the foothills of the Cascades, and we didn't get any snow this year at all at our house, which is very, very unusual. And we hardly got any snow up in the mountains. That's one of the earliest openings they've had of the pass up above us. So we've been looking at the snowpack and are kind of like, oh man, you know, it might be a very dry, fire hazardous summer. It's kind of what we're thinking. And so what I was excited about with the sun oven with summer coming is, one, obviously it won't heat up your house having your oven on, because that's always a thing when it's hot out. But what I love about this is, even if the burn ban is on, is you can use it outside and you don't have to worry about having fuel or any sparks or anything like you would if you were cooking with, you know, like with a fire, or doing Dutch oven with the charcoal and that kind of a thing. So there's no worry about it being really a fire hazard. And so I think that's a great feature for going into the summer months with the sun oven.
Yeah, there is. There's no hazard of fire at all. And as you probably noticed with the sun oven, it's very safe in every way. I mean, your kids aren't going to burn themselves if they come up and touch it. The reflectors don't get hot, and the box of the oven on the outside doesn't get hot. And so it's safe for virtually everything. The only part of the sun oven that's exposed that gets a little bit hot is the surface of the glass. And we always say there's an advantage to the surface of the glass getting hot, because that gets hot enough to keep your neighbor's dog from eating your pot roast. Any animal that's out in the daytime will sense the heat and will stay away from the sun oven. So safety is a really important part of the oven. We have them in a lot of developing countries around the world, where oftentimes children get burned from cook fires and things like that. So when we've made the sun oven so it's completely safe, even with small children, they're not going to burn themselves, nor can it catch anything on fire.
Yeah, I love that. I was really impressed. Like I said, when I got it out and everything, we got it going, I kept saying to my husband, I'm like, I cannot believe how well this works, because I guess I really had it in my head that it really couldn't be that efficient. And I haven't really done a whole lot of solar cooking before, honestly. You know, we've done a lot of outdoor cooking. We do a lot of Dutch oven cooking, open fire cooking, smoking, you know, meats and different foods like that. But I hadn't really done any solar cooking before of any kind, and I was just amazed at how efficient it was. Mm-hmm. And there's also
that. And you can actually, you know, do your Dutch oven cooking. If you're going to slow cook in the sun oven, if you use your Dutch oven, it's wonderful. You'll find that if you're going to, let's say you're going to make a chicken, there'd be two ways to do it. If you took a 3-pound chicken, you put it in a pot, and you move the sun oven every 30 minutes to follow the sun, you can cook it an hour and a half. But if you take a frozen chicken, put it in your Dutch oven, and in the morning put it inside the sun oven, and just set the sun oven facing south where the sun is around lunchtime, around noon, come back at dinner, and you'll have a cooked roast. And the nice part about the Dutch oven and the sun oven is that once it gets hot, even if it started raining and the weather changed completely, the sun oven's extremely well insulated, so the retained heat from the Dutch oven inside the well-insulated sun oven will allow your slow-cooked meals to finish cooking even if the weather changed. So just
really?
Like you did with the potatoes, leaving it and going, you can do that all day by using a Dutch oven. Now, a Dutch oven is going to take an hour and a half longer to come up to temperature than a thin pot will, so you're not going to preheat a Dutch oven the same way in the sun oven, and your preheating time and everything is different. But for slow cooking, it's wonderful to use inside the sun oven.
How awesome. Now, if you wanted to, using like the cast iron Dutch oven, if you wanted to kind of heat up that preheating time, because I realize the cast iron is so much thicker, it's going to take it longer to heat up. But then once it does reach temperature, it stays heated longer. Could you say, if you wanted to preheat that cast iron Dutch oven in the regular oven and then put it in the sun oven to speed things up, or is that not?
Sure. No, you can do that. I mean, you can preheat the sun oven on a campfire or preheat it on a stovetop or a regular oven, as long as you've got thick oven mitts or hot pads. Putting that in the sun oven will definitely decrease the cooking time with it.
Okay. But I love that you don't have to, but if you're in a hurry, I tend to sometimes get these great ideas and then I have like 10 minutes to execute things before I have to go. So I like that there's the option that you can do that. And it, so that I did not know. I'm so excited that you told me that. I didn't know that you could, once everything was heated up, if the weather did start to change, that it would still continue cooking like that to finish it off. Because here, there's a lot of times where, you know, I'll, you know, well, you'll leave, go to work or, you know, go to run an errand or something, and the Pacific Northwest, the weather changes so quickly, you know, you can come back in 2 hours, it was sunny, bright and sunny when you left, and then, like I said, clouds are starting to roll in or whatever. And so that's awesome that it will continue once you
Yeah,
heat it
the
up.
key is you don't want to open the door of the sun oven. You know, when you've got the, in essence, the Dutch oven's becoming a heat sink inside this well-insulated box, and you don't want to open the door of the sun oven. You want to keep the door closed because the Dutch oven is heating the air. And food cooks, starts cooking at 180 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you look at the oven thermometer, as long as you're at 180, 185, it's cooking. So, you know, you're basically, as long as your temperature stays above that, you're in essence crock pot cooking inside the sun oven. If the Dutch oven has gotten hot in the chambers, the food and the mass of the food inside of it stays hot. Usually after the sun disappears, it will stay above a cooking temperature for a good 3 to 5 hours. So it will
Wow.
finish its cooking, and you don't really worry. You know, the danger zone if you're using meat is you don't want to have meat between 40 degrees and 150 degrees for 90 minutes. That's the danger zone for bacteria and things with meat. So even if you're
Okay.
cooking a roast in it, when the temperature, even when it finishes cooking, you can leave it in there, and as long as, and once the temperature goes to 150, you've got another 90 minutes that you'd worry about any kind of danger. So pretty much you can leave it in there, and it almost doesn't make any difference. You come home from dinner at 5 o'clock or at 7 o'clock, your food's still going to be nice and warm and safe, and it will remain moist because of the airtight seal of the sun oven. The food doesn't dry out.
Yeah, and that I did notice, like cooking even the potatoes, which I didn't really think that they would have very much moisture in them because it was the only thing we were cooking, and I just put them directly on the rack inside. And there was, yeah, there was moisture at the bottom when I pulled them out, and which really surprised me. I wasn't expecting to see that. So I love that, like your meats and everything are going to stay really moist. They're not going to get dried out like if you, you know, sometimes you overroast a chicken, especially the white
Right. I
meat
mean,
that can really dry.
one time in June, I cooked a chicken for 12 hours at full temperature in the sun oven, and it got so overcooked it fell off the bone, but it was still more moist after 12 hours in the sun oven and falling off the bone than if I had cooked it for, you know, an hour and a half in my regular conventional gas oven. So it's just amazing how moist the food is. Same things with bread. When you bake bread in the sun oven, your bread comes out incredible, and people tell us all the time they bake bread and forget about it and leave it in for twice as long as they normally would, and it doesn't dry out. So a bread will eventually dry out if you don't slow cook bread all day. I mean, if you leave it in there for 4 hours, 5 hours, it's eventually going to dry, but it takes a long time, and you can bake bread on almost the same amount of time as you do in your conventional oven in the sun. And you know, a lot of people who like baking bread in the summer find they pay for their sun oven just in what they save by now.
Yes, yeah, because here, you know, normally we don't even have, I mean, there's very few homes that have air conditioning in them. My work does, so I'm lucky in the summer when I'm at my day job that we have air conditioning, but that's definitely a thing is, you know, I come home and I'm like, you know, we try to grill everything just because you don't want to heat the house up because it stays hot, but there's only so many things that you can grill. I like to be able to come home and have, you know, dinner ready. So I do like the slow cooker, but I love that this can be outside. You're not using electricity, so you don't have any costs. You know how many fuel costs? Because, you know, with everything else, even if it's firewood, even, you know, we happen to have quite a bit of acreage, and so we have usually a couple of trees fall down every year, so we kind of have a renewable fire source here on our own property. But there's still the cost of, you know, chopping and splitting and aging it and stacking and everything that's involved using that fuel source, even though it doesn't monetarily really cost us a whole lot. And so I'm just the economical part of the sun oven really has me excited as well. So,
Yeah, some people who
now.
get Sun ovens for emergency preparedness find they pay for them in a relatively short time, and what they save on air conditioning costs a little bit, and what they save on cooking fuel. But and then they use the money they save to fund other preparedness supplies. So the Sun oven, unlike a lot of things that people get to be prepared for emergency, is something that will pay for itself and then can contribute to your budget as opposed to being a drain on your budget.
Yeah, so I have to come back to you because I told this to my husband. He's like, "Are you sure that that would really be safe? I don't know about that." And that is putting, you said you could put in actually a frozen bird or roast, and it will thaw and be cooked and actually be all the way done by the end of the day if it's like a full-on
Right.
sunny day. You could really put it in frozen and cook it.
The reason we suggest a frozen roast if you're going to leave it unattended is that when you put the food in the Sun oven, say at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to set it where the sun's going to be at noon and come home for supper at, 5, 6 o'clock, if you started with a defrosted roast, I mentioned the danger zone of meat. Pretty much if you've got it set where the sun is at noon, from 8 to 10, you don't have any sun over the Sun oven, and so the roast is thawing out from 8 to 10, but then from 10 to 2 you'll have some sun overhead and your roast will cook and then it will stay warm. So we suggest starting with a frozen roast if you're going to slow cook it all day so that you're able to, and we suggest using a thick pot like a Dutch oven or a clay pot for that, and then you never have any point where you have your meat getting between 40 degrees and 150 degrees for 90 consecutive minutes. So that's why a frozen roast is recommended for slow cooking. You don't have to do it that way. Let's say it's 1 in the afternoon and you want to eat at 5. You could put your roast in the Sun oven and set it facing where the sun's going to be at 3 o'clock and come back at 5 and it would be done. Then I would not want to use a frozen roast. But if I was going to leave it unattended all day, I'd prefer starting with frozen meat.
Okay, and I love that, and that I didn't even wasn't even thinking of. I was thinking of the convenience factor of like, oh, I didn't take any meat out last night, and now I'm leaving for the day, and I want to just be able to cook it. I wasn't even thinking, honestly, of the food safety part of like you saying of when you're leaving it all day like that, you want the frozen to stay in the safety zone as it cooks. But I love it for the convenience factor because we raise our own grass-fed beef, and so all of my beef is in our deep freezer unless I've canned it. So I don't have, so usually if I haven't thought out meal plans for the week and taken stuff out to thaw, the night before or whatever, then it's kind of like, oh, it's not going to be thawed in time to cook, for it to cook. And so I kind of have to move it to the next day or whatever. So when I heard you say that you could use it, put it in frozen in the morning, I'm like, oh my goodness, my life just got so much easier. I'm so excited
And
about that
if you
factor.
take your beef, you throw some potatoes, carrots, onions in with that frozen roast. You can throw it all into one pot. Just leave it in there, and you'll come home for supper. You have one pot to wash and a complete meal that's done. You don't add any moisture or take any moisture out. The juice from the meat will cook into your vegetables and you'll find that it will be delicious. Or if you wanted to, you could take your baked potatoes and do the same thing you did before. Just put them in the pot, put them on the rack around the pot, and you can cook them that way, and you'll find it will come out incredible.
That's okay. That's awesome. I'm really excited to use it more. Like I said, I've had it out and I just started playing with it, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much I didn't realize that it could do. I've got to learn everything about it because it really does a lot of different things. And I know I'm watching the clock. We're starting to run down a little bit on time for the podcast, and so I have more questions for you. And there's so much that we cover on what the Sun Oven does, and so we. For everybody who's listening, we are going to be hosting a webinar with Paul, and it's going to be live. So there'll be a question and answer time where you can ask questions, and he can answer it. Because the Sun Oven, not only does it cook food, which is fantastic, and I love that, and I also love that it doesn't have smoke. Because we just had a big barbecue on Mother's Day. It was also my daughter's. We were celebrating her birthday, and so we were roasting meat outside and stuff, and when the wind's blowing a lot, it blows smoke, all in your face and your eyes are stinging, which I still love, campfire, and we will still definitely use that. But I love that this doesn't have smoke, so I just had to put that in there. It was so nice to, not be waving your eyes and trying to dance around the smoke following you and stinging. But the sun oven you can also use to preserve food. You can do home food preservation with the sun oven on certain things. Is that right,
Yes,
Paul?
You can use it to preserve food. You can use it for boiling water. It has a dehydrating. You can use it to dehydrate your food. And if people have food storage that's freeze dried or dehydrated, it's the most fuel efficient way to rehydrate that because you don't have to boil your water first. So there's so many things that you can do with the sun oven. And when we do the webinar, we'll talk about all of those things and how to dehydrate. And there's so much that you can do with it that it's hard to cover, and that's why we like doing classes so people can learn more about the sun oven. And with the webinar too, if anybody's interested in getting a sun oven, we're going to be offering a very special package at a much lower price than normal. So if people do decide to join us in the webinar, they can learn about the sun oven, and if they want to get one, the webinar will have information on how they can do that at a much lower cost.
Awesome. Okay, so for those of you who are listening, go to melissaknorris.com and click on the podcast button and click on episode number 55, and that's going to be this episode, and there will be links to get you signed up so that you can catch the webinar. And the webinar is going to be this coming Tuesday, which is May 19th, 2015, and it's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific time, so that's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, I believe. Forgive me if I
Right.
don't have my times exactly conversion there, but it'll be 5 p.m. Pacific time. And there will be a recording available for a short time because I know a lot of times with the time difference or if you're on a work schedule and you can't get home in time to listen to it, I've had that happen to me before on webinars. So we will definitely have a recording available so that you can catch it, that night or the next morning for a short time up. But you will miss out on the live question and answer part, which is there's
No, they
always a
won't.
question I
Actually,
have.
they'll miss out on the live, but they'll still be able to, anybody who listens through the replays can submit questions, and I'll answer any questions they submit via email.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great. That's a very nice feature that you're doing. I didn't realize that. So make sure if you're listening, like I said, and you're not a computer, just go to melissaknorris.com, click on podcast episode number 55 with the sun oven, and you can get all those details. So you can get signed up for that and registered, save your seat, and then we will send you an email out with the links for everything as that comes up, and then also the recording links in case you can't make it or you want to go back and listen to everything. And so I'm really excited because I want to learn more about the dehydrating part and also the water, being able to purify water with it as well. So we'll be talking about that in the webinar. And thank you so much for joining me today, Paul. Now I've got even more things that I want to get it out and play with. So I'm looking outside right now and I'm like, come on, let those clouds burn away. I can't wait to play with it. So
Super.
thank you so much. And then we will be visiting and I'll be chatting with you on Tuesday.
Look forward to it. Thanks a lot. God bless.
So now we're getting to our verse of the week section. And this verse, I have had this marker in my Bible, I think, for about 2 weeks now. And I am starting out my morning Bible reading time, and I keep coming back to it. So I thought it was the perfect verse to share with you guys. And it's a little bit long. It's from Psalm 119, starting in verse 33 through verse 40. And actually, I've written in the notations life prayer. I think this is a beautiful prayer to pray over ourselves and for our children and loved ones. And it's, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life and your righteousness. And I think that's one of the most complete prayers for how I want my life to be and those that I love and everyone. So I hope that you enjoy that and look that verse up yourself and kind of think on that and pray on that as well. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.